Today I want to talk about. Let's talk about Vayehi bin Soa Horoi. We're going to go a little bit off the topic. In honor of the fact that this week's parasha mentions Vayehi bin Soa Horoi Vayomer Moshe, the upside down nuns, the two psukim appear in this week's parasha. Let us go off on a tangent and discuss the part of davening. The part of davening where we say the section of davening that begins with Vayehi bin So Haron, all of the related minhagim and nuschos that are associated with Vayehi bin So Haron. Everything I'm telling you, not everything, most coming from this fascinating sefer called Mekorei HaTfilah. He put out two volumes. It's relatively new. This was put out about 2 years ago. He just put out a second volume. This is the first volume. Mekorei HaTfilah. We always like to know how Mevi Geula LeOlam. The Mechaber is Ephraim Zalutnik. Ephraim Zalutnik. Fantastic, fantastic sefer. Highly recommend it. Okay. Let's begin. First thing first. Who gets the kavod of opening up the aroi? So what does everyone know?
Wife is pregnant.
I'm sure everyone here has children. The one who is pregnant. The first one you look for in the shul is... Anyone here, his wife is pregnant? Anyone here, his wife in the ninth month? His wife is due, ninth month. Okay, so that is the one, traditionally, it is a zuchus, because opening up the aron should be a very bizarre skula. I really do not know where it comes from. He quotes this from the chidah. Yeah, okay, it's still a bizarre thing. The chidah. The chidah is where this minute comes from. The one that says sheget, the opening of the aron is the one whose wife is due to give birth. Now, the truth is due. Now, the truth is, today I've seen some shuls go a little bit overboard. Where some people go a little bit overboard is that the whole ninth month. When is the baby going to come out already? How many times is this guy going to be getting psich? Again? Another Shabbos. Monday, Thursday. It seems like to me the baby's already 12 months, 13 months.
One guy got his birth.
What?
His wife is due to Pesach.
He's
paying every day.
Paying. Money, okay, they sell aliyahs. Okay, so the truth is, the chidah, if you study the source, of this meaning in the chidah says you get it once, and that's it. You get it once in the beginning of the ninth month, not at the end of the ninth month. Allah asid, everything should go well, you get it once. Zehu, it's like, sorry, I'm asking Tommy, when it comes to Misha Berach, there used to be the custom by certain communities when a Rachmana Lutzlan is a Chayla, and you make a Misha Berach once, and that's it. Either it works or it doesn't work. You don't come back for seconds, for thirds, every day, Nachmal, Nachmal, Nachmal.
Was it different illness for the same person?
Maybe different illness, but one illness, one matzav, you make a Misha Berach once, and you're finished. You want to make use of the school of opening up the aron in so that the woman should have a healthy, natural childbirth once, and that's it. When? Not at the end of the 9 months. Who knows if she'll make it that long. The beginning of the ninth month, finished. For some reason, we will go overboard today, and it's become the minig. You do once, twice. I know it all depends on the person. Not everyone is so into these types of things. Next issue. There are some people who have very interesting customs. You only get hoitza, but not hachnasa. Because the hachnasa defeats the purpose. I want the rechem to open, not to stay closed. Okay, so this is another interesting debate. He rings on it. I'm telling you, some things he says over here are shocking. He has incredible shocking. I know in my incredible gaiva, I thought I knew it already. But line after line, he says things that you never heard before. I never heard before. So there are such sources that you only do haitza, not hachnasa, because hachnasa defeats the purpose of the skula. However, some say it's ridiculous. Just as you want the baby, the woman's womb to open up to release the baby, it's a sakana that the woman's rechem should close. That's also a miracle. I think there's a chazal. The same way there's a miracle that the rechem opens, it's also a very great miracle that the rechem should close and the woman should go back to a healthy.
The baby shouldn't go back.
The baby should not go back, but after the baby goes out, the rechem should close. So indeed, Indeed, some say the minig, of course, is that the one that gets hoitzah, of course, gets hachnasa. And the truth is, first of all, it is our custom in the shul that the one that the chazan, the shatz does not get hoitzah. The shatz, the sefer Torah is given to him. Some ask a question that why is the shatz the one who takes the sefer Torah to the bima? Give that kibbutz to someone else. You do find elderly people who have a yard sign, they can't carry. So we have someone else carry. Someone davens for the yom, he wants a daven, he can't carry the sefer Torah, it's too hard for him. So we have someone else carry the sefer Torah. So why isn't that the standard? Why isn't that even if the person is young and healthy, we should break up the kibbutz and let someone else be the one who carries the sefer Torah? So the answer is no. Holding the sefer Torah is such a great suchus. It is such a great honor. We do not take that away from the shatz. The shliach tzibur has done us a very great service. He has led us in prayer. He has exerted himself. He has repeated the Shemoneh Esrei. Okay, but he deserves compensation for his services. So the very least we do for the shliach tzibur, this is a very interesting idea, is we let him, we give him the kavod of carrying the sefer Torah from the Aron to the Bima, and from the Bima to the Aron. That being the case, the commentators ask, so go the next step. We should also give him the honor of taking the sefer Torah out of the Aron. Anyway, he's standing at the Aron, so why do we break up the kavod? Why do we take it away? And some have the impression that this, that we're giving honor to another person in the shul to open up, to take on the sefer Torah, is... by doing so, you're taking away something that really belongs to the shatz. And indeed, there were communities that there was no such kibbutz as hoitzah v'achnasa. It was the kavod that was automatically given to the shliach tzibur. Just like no one denies the shliach tzibur the kavod of carrying the sefer Torah from the amud to the bima, you should not be so quick to take away from the shliach tzibur the honor of removing the sefer Torah from the aron.
He doesn't open the aron.
No, he should open the aron. Technically speaking, see, we look at it that it's not his part. The point I want to make is we're so brainwashed, and the way we do things is that the shliach tzibur has nothing to do with taking out the sefer Torah from the Aron Kodesh. And if that's the case, if that's really our mindset, then he should really have nothing to do with carrying the sefer Torah from the Amud to the Bima. If I'm not mistaken, when I went and I davened with my cousin's bris, Rabbi Dr. Meir Yaakov Soloveitchik, he made a bris in the Spanish-Portuguese synagogue. So I went for the bris. I don't think the shatz carries the sefer Torah from the Aron to the Bima. If I'm not mistaken, the person that gets hoitzah v'hachnasa does everything. He opens up the Aron, and he takes the sefer Torah from the Aron all the way to the Bima. The shatz says, Gadol LaHashemiti, he says all of the psukim, but never comes in contact with the sefer Torah.
He follows
the sefer Torah, but he does not hold it.
Physically demanding to hold the Torah and close the Aron.
It's physically demanding. We see it's now. We see that the custom is on all the shuls that we've been at. It is the shliach tzibur who at least takes the sefer Torah from the hands of the one who takes it out and carries it to the bima.
But he doesn't close it.
So the question is, he really should. The truth is, he really should. Because the one who takes the sefer Torah out of the Aron and the one who carries it from the Aron to the Bima really should be the same person.
Maybe they're afraid of him dropping the Torah.
Okay, possibly. But really, what he presents here, he changes our mindset. It's a one-shot kibbutz. Everything, it's... Why? Because it's very heavy, but in that shul they have regular sefer Torah. The real Svardim had this massive. Okay, so that's, it could be, it's different. Okay, but let's talk about that particular shul. They have their own minhag. Everything there is different. They have regular sefer Torah, just like us. And there, I remember, they do it in a very unique way. It's done with a lot of with pomp and ceremony, even on a Monday Thursday. The way they have a certain aisle, they walk here, they don't walk there, and they follow I don't know, it's done differently, but it's not the Shliach Tzibur. And the truth is, what he's saying here is that's exactly the point. It's not. It's the one that takes it out should be the one that carries it to the Bima. And if you're going to break it up, either you don't break it up, either if you're going to break it up, this that we are breaking it up, what we're really doing is we're taking away something that deserves to the one that carries it to the Bima. Who is the one that deserves to carry it to the Bima? The Shatz. It's his kavod, it's his honor. And he should take it out as well. Okay, but this is our custom, we do indeed break it up. Okay, now let's go to the next thing. When you open up the Aron HaKodesh, when you do Vayhi ben Soha Aron, do you open it from the right to the left or from the left to the right? Or it doesn't make a difference? Elu v'elu divrei Elokim Chaim. Some hold that you're supposed to go from the left to the right. Called Pina, your curtain. Yeah. Is there a Hakpada? Yeah, which side should you pull the string? Or which side should they make the string? When they design the Aron Kodesh, should it be the right or the left? So there's a machlekes, there are different minhagim. There are some that have a hakpada that you should stand on the left side and go from the left to the right. It's a chazal. Kol pina sha'ata poine lo yehe el liyamin. If you're opening up the curtain, you should always go from the left to the right. The right is choshev. You turn to the right. Kol pina sefer chazal. Kol pina sha'ata poine lo yehe el liyamin. So, but that, okay, that's one. And some shuls do it like that. Some shuls, that's the way it's made. When you pull the string, it goes from the left to the right. Other kihilois, there's a hakpada to go from the right to the left. Why? It's like writing the letters of the Sefer Torah. When you write the letter, you write Hebrew script. What do? You start on the right and you move to the left. Why does that? The Aleph Beis, we always go, and the Oisios of the Aleph Beis are the Oisios of the Torah. Since we're embracing the Torah, we go, like the letters are written in the Sefer Torah, like the columns are arranged in the Sefer Torah, you go from right to left. And some say it doesn't make one bit of a difference. You can go from right to left, left to right. All of this thing really doesn't matter at all. What? Yes, so which door do you open? The right or the left door? So again, these things, it all depends on how the Aron Kodesh is designed. Sometimes you don't have a choice. There are limitations on what you can do. Okay, so this is... Now, when you take this Sefer Torah, do you take it with your right hand or your left hand? Of course, you take it always with the right hand. Bimino tichav keni. Hashem's right hand embraced me. From this, we learn that when you embrace something, you embrace it with the right hand. So therefore, whenever you take a Sefer Torah, you always should take the Sefer Torah with your right hand, even if you are a lefty. That is the general rule.
Take it with your right hand or lean it on your right side?
Both on the right side. You take it. Amoytzi sefer Torah yoytzia min aneichel biyeminoi. V'yoyishloi sol liyemin hashatz al shem hakosef. V'yoyit shatoy nichtav biyemin miminoi eish das lama. Always should be on the right side. V'afiluim who eating if you're a lefty. Okay, let's go further.
Rabbi, if you take out two sefer Torahs, each one would take out their own.
There are different customs. No, there are different customs. Sometimes you have two sefer Torah. One goes to the shatz, and then the one that did Hotzevach Nasa, he takes it. Sometimes you have more kibudim. You have one person designated for carrying it and one person designated for taking it out. Every shul has their custom. Every shul has.
What happens is there's one person, the one that gets the kibud
to open it, he takes the second sefer Torah.
No, and sometimes
they have
to. Right, it depends.
That opens
give
them the second.
It all depends. Every shul has a different, their own custom. If you give, you add another person to do Hayitzavach Nas when you have two Sefer Torah. Okay, Okay, now another question. When do you say Vayihi bin Soah Aron? Do you say when you open up the Aron before you take out the Sefer Torah, or do you say it after the Sefer Torah are out? So the young Israelites, when they sing Vayihi bin Soah, of course the minhag is you first open up the Aron and then you say Vayihi bin Soah, and you do not take out the Sefer Torah until much later on. But in some kilos where they don't sing, they actually, there's a hakpad, according to some, is that you should bedavka say it when the Sefer Torah is being removed. Because that's really what the Pasuk says. Vayihi bin Soah, when the Aron is moved. The more literal translation of the words are when the Aron is in movement. So you should first take it out. After it's been taken out, then you say the Pesukim, Vayihi bin Soah Aron.
Aron is moving, not the Torah.
Well, the Aron represents the Torah. The Aron means, it means the Torah, when they transported the Torah, they transported it in the Aron. We don't, of course, move the Aron, we just move the Sefer Torah, but it represents what was done. So there are different customs when you say
it as you're opening it.
So that means you're opening the Aron, where is the Sefer Torah? With many shuls, they don't think.
Well, the Sefer Torah is still in the Aron.
Oh, okay, so then you're saying it, but while the Sefer Torah is still in the Aron. And then you'll say Baruch Shmei while the Sefer Torah is still in the Aron. Okay, we discussed this. So that's the question. There are different customs. Some hold that you should not begin to say Vayihi bin so Aron until the Sefer Torah is outside of the Aron, is being held in the hand of the Maitzi. Again, many shuls don't even know what they're doing. It's just happened so fast. People don't know what they're doing. I was once in a place where they didn't say Baruch Shmei. They just didn't say Baruch Shmei. So they asked the rabbi, why don't we say Baruch Shmei here? So the rabbi said, who says we don't? who says we don't? It's just because the minig is the shatz doesn't finish off the last words, but that doesn't mean that we don't say it. Who says we don't? People just sometimes you don't pay attention to what you do.
There's a minig in a certain shul that used to turn around by Baruch Shmei.
Yeah.
They asked them why.
Yeah.
This is because in the old Siddur they didn't have it printed.
It was printed on the wall. That became the minhag. Okay, next. Let's discuss Baruch Shmei. Baruch Shmei comes from the Zohar. It is a very holy tefillah. Every word of the tefillah is precise. I don't know the significance. There are even questions of the exact nosach of Baruch Shmei, and there were questions to add things, take out. It says here, the bottom line is you have to have 130 words. If you want to add, make sure you take out a couple of other words, so it should be exactly 130. What is the significance of 130? I have no idea.
Cow?
What's cow?
Easy?
I know. It's a very holy prayer. Why is Baruch Shmei in Aramaic? It's from the words of the Zohar. So some want to suggest is because Vayihi bin Tsoa Ha'aron Vayomer Moshe Kuma Hashem. You speak when the Sefer Torah is in motion, the Shechinah is present, and you speak directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you speak directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to show that you speak in the only language that the Malachim do not understand. Malachim do not understand Aramaic. When we daven, the Malachim do not speak Aramaic. So to show that we are speaking directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we say a tefillah in the nusach of Aramaic, Baruch Shmei Demori Olma. Now, when do we recite Baruch Shmei? Now, we take it as a given that it should be recited. What people do is another story. Okay, many people don't even know, don't even say it altogether, they have patience for it, they know what it says. But our understanding is that we say it all the time. Monday, Thursday, Shabbos Mincha, Yom Tov, it doesn't make a difference. But that's not so simple. There are many, many Mechagim as to when to say this holy prayer. And something that's very holy, you only say it on special occasions. Some only say it on a day when you have Musaf. Why Musaf? Now, this doesn't work well for the Ashkenazim, but the Svardim, when they recite Musaf, the Kedusha is always Keser Yitnu Lecha. Okay, Ashkenazim do not say Keser. Ashkenazim say Nikadesh, Shimcha Ba'olam, but Nusach Sefarad says Keser. There's the long Keser and there's the short Keser. On Rosh Chodesh you say the short Keser. What is the Nusach? How does it begin? Berich Shmei Demori Olma, may the name of Hashem be blessed. Berich Kisroch Ve'asroch, may your crown and your place be blessed. Crown, Kisroch. This is a remez, or this is an indication that this nusach should only be said on the day when we daven musaf, in which we will recite in the nusach of kedusha keser yidnu lecha. Okay, that is one custom. Another custom is only to say this nusach Shabbos Mincha. Shabbos Mincha is the most auspicious time for the tefillah to be accepted. Shabbos Mincha is Rava d'Rava. It's the time of when we say that nis sefilasi l'cho Hashem es ratzon, we're mispalel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that our prayer should be acceptable. Shabbos, the holiest day of the week. A Shabbos has three parts: Friday night, Shabbos day, and Shabbos afternoon. It's the climax of Shabbos. It's a very great Eis Ratzon. Whenever we open up the Aron HaKodesh and we are in the presence of the Sefer Torah, it's a great auspicious time. The prayer of Brich Shmei is a very holy prayer where we ask for children, we ask for Siyata Deshmaya, we ask for success. The things that it says here are totally off the charts, and we speak directly to the Ribbono Shel Olam in Aramaic, not to the Malachim. Therefore, we reserve this nusach for the most auspicious time of the week, and that is Shabbos Mincha. So even those people that are not in the mood of saying Bruch Shmei during the week at least should concentrate Shabbos Mincha to say Bruch Shmei with a little bit more kavana than normal. Okay, some have other customs; they only say on the Shalosh Regalim, only say it on Shabbos. Okay, there are various different. Now there are many different parts of the nusach that are very interesting. Okay, there's a nusach, the Sehaf Li Benin Dichrin. Most of us do not have that in our nusach. May you, Hashem, grant me male children. Male children. We don't say that. Our nusach does not have that. Why not? Because not everyone is zoche to have male children. Some people don't. Rachman doesn't have children. Some people only have girls. So we don't want to discourage people from saying the nusach. So, and also people have passed their child. They had their children. They have Baruch Hashem 10 sons. So we ask, I want more. I have enough tuition. I have enough bills to pay. Okay, I have an adkan. But we don't want to discourage, so somehow this nusach has fallen to disuse to say. However, some say that if a person is being mispalel for children, person wants, he's a young man and he's looking to have children, he can add this into the nusach to be mispalel for children. Okay, this.
No one knows what you're saying anyway.
No, you do know. Today you have the art scroll, you have interlinear, I don't know. Ask me 100, I don't know the answer. You mispalel for Parnasa, you mispalel for all these beautiful things, Parnasa for Siyat Shmai and learning. Okay, now there's a part of this tefillah which is very controversial, and that is V'lo al bar Elohin Samichna. I don't rely upon the Son of God. What does that mean? You know what it sounds like.
Yeah.
I'm not a believer in Lahayin in Yeshu. Yeshu Anotri. So some are so disturbed, Hasidim especially, so disturbed with this expression, V'lo al bar Elohim Simichna. I'm not relying upon Yeshu. So therefore they don't say the whole thing. Now also, I don't know the details, but this part, this expression, had a lot to do with Shabbosai Tzvi. Anyone familiar with this? I know, but I don't know how Shabbosai Tzvi used this as a proof that he was Mashiach, somehow, this part of the Brich Shmei, V'lo al bar Elohim Simichna. Now really what it means is, I don't rely upon angels. V'lo al bar, I don't rely upon angels. I rely directly upon you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. An angel is called a child. Why are we called the firstborn? Bini b'chayre Yisrael. Why are we called the firstborn? The firstborn is only when there's a secondborn. Who is the secondborn? The Malachim. Malachim are also called the children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but we're also called the children, but we're called the firstborns. We do not rely upon Malachim. Now, some have a different gear. Some say, V'lo al malchoyo ilo'a samichma. Okay, now another interesting thing that it says here, this is a very interesting thing. It says here, I think Rabbi Reisman mentions this in his Imponderables. Maybe I'm making a mistake. Ano avdo de kudsho brichu. I am a servant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Disogidno kanei. I bow before him. Umikamo, and I bow dikar oraisa before the glory of his Torah. B'chol idon v'idon. Really? When was the last time you bowed before the Torah? You bow before them? A literal translation is, The little translation is, I bow before Hashem. Okay, we bow before Kodesh Baruch Hu. Mikamo dikar eraisei, the honor of his Torah.
You bow towards the Aron Kodesh?
When do you bow towards the Aron Kodesh?
When you walk into Shul.
When?
When you walk into
Shul. When you're full Kairim. Before Kairim? You bow before Kodesh Baruch Hu, not before the Torah, yeah, not before...
You bow towards the Aron.
Well, they used to do it by Hag.
By Hag, but they would bow? Very good, they would bow, exactly. So that's the answer. The answer is that we're supposed to bow, the Eden references to Hag, but exactly, that's the answer. That's one of the answers. Another answer is to bow. To bow down before the Torah. So the answer is you bow by Hagba, you're supposed to bow down. People don't know this. Hagba. The Zois HaTorah Shasa Moshe, you're supposed to bow. And when you bow, you're being Mekayim when it says here that I bow before Hashem, before the Torah, called Edon the Edon. Another answer is, very simple answer, Gadlu LaHashem Iti Unirayim LaShmo Yachtav. On the Shatz, what is our Minuk? It's, no one knows where this comes from. In fact, it says in all the Psalm to do just the opposite. You're supposed to be facing the Olam. Rabbi Reisman writes about this in his fantastic book, Pathway to the Prophets. One of his imponderables is that when we come to the Sum, we say, Gadlu LaHashem Iti Unirayim LaShmo Yachtav. What is the meaning of the Shatz? To turn around. When you say Shema Yisrael, you face the Olam. Alright, when you say Shema Yisrael, you face the Olam, and then you turn around and you face the Aron HaKodesh and you bow and you say Gadlu LaHashem Iti Unirayim LaShmo Yachtav. This is what they do in almost every shul that I've been in.
Rav Brown, someone davened for the Yom once by Rav Brown.
Yeah.
And he, by Gadlu, he turned around.
To what? To the Aron?
Rav Brown screamed at him after, what were you doing?
Why did you turn around?
The young Israel or something?
Okay, Enochnami. So Enochnami.
My father's meaning was that you pick up his name.
Okay. You're supposed to raise. It's right. Okay, it's okay. Don't worry. Okay, so this is the traditional sources. Okay, it's brought down in the Morgan Avram, the Yochas Chaim. The Morgan Avram says you're not supposed to face the Olam. You're not supposed to turn around. When you say Gadlu LaHashem Iti, you're supposed to face the Olam. And you're supposed to pick it up. You're supposed to pick up the Sefer Torah. For whatever reason is, B'shah, what you would have said, B'shah, Sh'omer, HaShliach Tzibur, Gadlu, Tzorech, Lehagbia, Es, Sefer Torah. Who says this? The Magen Avram. The Magen Avram, the commentator on the Shulchan Aruch, says this. You're supposed to raise up the Sefer Torah. The Yesh Kosav Shemish Einu Magbiya Sefer Torah Oyver Be'or Asher Lo Yachm. It's pretty scary. If you don't raise up the Sefer Torah, you violate the curse. Oror Asher Lo Yachm. And you're supposed to also face Machzir Hashatz Ponav Kineged Habima Ve'oymeid Kineged HaHechol. The Oimer Galul Bakavano Uvikol Ram Uvinimo. You're supposed to be facing the Tzibor. The Tzibor. No one does this. Okay, don't get me wrong. Don't start doing the things. You can't fight City Hall. I'm telling you what it says you're supposed to do. Who says this? The Machzavitri, the Tor. The Aruch HaShulchan has taken note that. What are you talking about? No one does this. Where have you been? Which shul have you been davening in?
And the rabbi standing there, the rabbi tells you to...
Turn around! Exactly. It's a mystery. It's a mystery. The Aruch HaShulchan takes note of this bizarre occurrence. Why do we turn around and face the Aron and bow instead of do what it says, face the Olam and lift up the Sefer Torah?
They bow
and they pick up the Sefer Torah. Okay, so you bow. Gadlu LaHashem Iti. Okay, now Rabbi Reisman, he writes. Rabbi Reisman goes a step further. Rabbi Reisman says, "How do you say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokein Hashem Echad? You've not been in a shul where you have not seen where the Shliach Tzibur does not face the Olam. When you're saying Shema Yisrael, which direction are you facing? I'm facing the Olam. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And then you turn around and you say Galu. So it should be just the opposite. When you say Shema Yisrael, you should be facing the Aron. And then when you say God Lashaniti, you should turn around. But that's not the Minig Olam. Minig Olam, for whatever reason, is to face.
We do the opposite.
We face the Olam and we say Shema Yisrael. We turn around and we say God Lashem Iti. Now, next thing, when you say God Lashem Iti, what does Iti mean with me? Who are you saying
to?
Say
the terrorists. You
have to say the right, terrorists. Right. So E.T., so I once told this to Arise, I told...
You're embarrassed to
say Torah. You don't want to embarrass, right? Afilu Sefer Torah Shebech. What does the Sadman Rav say? That the mazel is that you were not taken out. All the Sifrei Torah are jealous. A beautiful Aron Kodesh filled with 10, 15, 20 Sifrei Torah. Why was this Sefer Torah Zoyche to be the one that was taken out to the Dima to be read from and to be honored? What about all of us? We lost out. So the Chazal say, it's a mazel. The Chazal say, you know, it's Taka Mazel. Where the Gabbai put it, where this things happen, they're not always, not everyone always pays attention why a certain Sefer Torah is selected to be used, to be read from, or goes for weeks and weeks. They keep, oh, last week, you keep on going for weeks. So the Sadman Rav says, it's a joke, is it's not a cover to be taken out. Because Ruba Deruba, what happens when they take out the Sefer Torah? No, they talk. They talk during laning. And when they talk during laning, then they vaza the Sefer Torah. So who had the good basel? The Sefer Torah Shebehechel, the one that did not suffer the indignity of being disgraced by the tzibur. So you don't know what good mazel is. Sometimes you think you get a job, you get it, it's a good mazel. Sometimes not getting the job is the mazel. There were many rabbanim who did not get jobs, and in Europe, and because they did not get the job. That's why they survived the war. That's why they're still alive. They have a family. They came.
Fired from a job. It was the best thing they ever had.
Oh, exactly. So you don't know. You don't know what's good for you. Now, however, I told this to my rise. I told him the reason why you turn around and you face them because you say God Lashemiti. You're not talking to the tzibur. You're talking to the other Sifrei Torah. You're trying to pacify them. Don't be insulted. I'm just your representative. God Lashem. What does it mean? God Lashemiti together with me, together with all the people in the shul. No, God Lashemiti means all of the Sifrei Torah and the Aron join forces. We're all the same. We all have the same letters. So we're all partners in this. Come when they're going to read from me. I'm just a representative of all of the other Sifrei Torah. So we turn to the Aron. We turn to the other Sifrei Torah, and we pacify them that you're also part of this process. God Lashemiti Unenayim Lashmo Yachdav. Okay, Arayat, I'm going to tell you one last one. We'll do this tomorrow. One little lesson. What does it mean? God Lashemiti Unenayim Lashmo Yachdav. There's a difference between the word Godol and the word Rom. What's the difference? Godol always in Tanakh means you go up the steps, you ascend, you have a connection to greatness, you have an appreciation, there is maturity. Raw means it's above my pay grade. I have no understanding. It's way over my head, beyond me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is certainly Ram. We human beings have absolutely no understanding of the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is way beyond anything that we're capable of understanding. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is kind to us, and He gives us, on our level, a little bit of understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. By giving us the Torah, we're able to understand a little bit. Everyone has a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everyone has their chelek in Torah. A person has a little chelek in Torah. Gadlu Lahashem, Gadlu comes from the word Gadol. You say to the tzibur, Gadlu Lahashem iti. I'm an individual. I have a very limited understanding of the Torah. I want to share that with you. Gadlu Lahashem iti. Let me tell you about what I understand in this Torah, what I understand about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then when you will come together with me and we'll learn together, together we'll reach new levels of understanding that in the past was wrong. Or only as a group can we raise ourselves or have an appreciation of the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that He is way above. What you could accomplish as a group is much greater than what you could accomplish as an individual. So Yerukhaz takes out the Sefer Torah. He's a private man holding the Sefer Torah. He says to the Tzibur, Rabbi Yisai, Gadlu lahashemiti. I'm a person, come to me, I'll tell you about Hashem's greatness, my appreciation. But then when you'll come and you'll join together with me and we'll share in the Torah, together as a group, the sum is greater than the parts. Together we can reach a madrega of Ram. And that's the Liman HaMusad Ein Adoyma. When you learn alone, when you learn as a group, when you come together as a koil, as a group, what you can accomplish is Noir of Oyam. It's Begeder Ram. What you learn as an individual is only Begeder Godol, is only a small appreciation. And we make this statement every single time we take out the Sefer Torah, Talmud Torah. It's by an individual, it's Gadlu. But together, Yachtov, it's Unerayimimah. It's a whole different level. All right, we'll continue tomorrow.